Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center here in Southwest Iowa. This is Bob Evensee along with Grant Jelly, Conservation Officer for Cass and Adair Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning, Bob.
And as luck would have it, your two counties are in Southwest Iowa also.
Yeah, they happen to be right smack dab in the center of them.
You bet, yeah. Let's talk about what people are out of the mood to do now is fall fishing. This is a great time to stock the freezer.
It is, yeah. In fact, I've talked to a few people here lately and had a few phone calls, people kind of reporting some success stories, but crappie are starting to bite again. So if you know, you're in the mood, we've got several lakes here locally that they're starting to do pretty good on crappie. A lot of people are catching crappie on minnows. So, yeah, grab a bucket of minnows and go out and enjoy some of the good weather that we're having before it turns too awful cold here. But this is the time of the year when those fish can start to bite again. And, you know, it's not 100 degrees, so people actually look forward to getting out there and hoping to catch some fish. So still lots of opportunities for some fall fishing yet.
You bet. Let's talk about river fishing a little bit. The river cats, they migrate a little bit to a certain extent. They probably wait till cold water, or when do they do that?
They do, yeah. This is the time of the year where they're kind of starting to maybe head back down the river where they had come up for the summer months. But, you know, you might want to concentrate around areas that have some deep holes this time of the year, because those fish will tend to overwinter in those areas, and those can be great places to fish even when it's really cold out. So those are things that you're going to want to key on. May be slightly different than, you know, the fishing that cat fishermen did during the summertime months, where they just kind of go out and throw it in any old riffle and they could catch catfish. So you'll have to change your tactics up a little bit, but they're going to be hungry, they're going to be active, and it's a good chance to get out and catch some of those big flatheads that we have here in some of the local rivers.
Sounds like a good plan, you bet. Archery deer season is on as we speak. Guys are out hunting, and you're probably seeing a few of those guys.
I'm starting to see a few, although the weather for the opening in a few days felt more like dove season. I think it was almost 90 degrees there the one evening, but that didn't keep people from getting out. So it's a long season. That's the nice thing about archery hunting, is that you can kind of pick and choose when you want to go a little bit more than you can some of the firearm seasons. But yeah, that opened up October 1st, and that'll run all the way through the 1st of December, right before our first shotgun season. And lots of opportunity. I'm starting to see more activity with deer. They're starting to move around a little bit more. And you know, always want to kind of caution, especially bow hunters, if you're hunting from a stand, to make sure that you've got your harness on, because you know, that's where we see most of our accidents occurring, is not necessarily people, you know, getting involved in shooting themselves or shooting others, but we see people falling from tree stands more often than not. And if you've got a good safety harness on, well, that can save your life pretty quickly. They make a variety of different models nowadays. I've got one that's more like a vest, so it's super easy to put on. They're real comfortable. They've got pockets to hold your gear and all that stuff. And you know, they're becoming a lot more popular with hunters nowadays because of their ease and their comfort. So, you know, spend a little bit of money on those things. They last a long time, and make sure you've always got one on in the morning. And if you forget it, well, then either sit on the ground or don't go that day, because the last thing you want to do, and there's all sorts of horror stories out there of people falling out of tree stands and becoming paralyzed or breaking arms or legs and things like that. But you know, you might think you've had enough sleep, and you get sleepy up there, you can fall out of a tree stand pretty quick. So make sure you've got that harness on, and it'll, you know, hopefully you'll never need it, but when you do, it'll save your life.
You bet. Deer hunters are pretty dedicated. I think they make about 12 trips a year on average, and they spend about 3 hours per trip, so they're in the timber a lot.
They do, yeah. And archery hunters, I would say, can even do some higher numbers there. Like I said, that's the great thing about archery season, is because it's so long, you can kind of pick and choose, and we'll see people getting out a lot more in November when the rut kind of peaks. But a lot of people enjoy going out in the early season. The deer aren't quite as spooked, I guess, if you will. They're kind of more in their summertime pattern, and you can really pattern deer this time of the year if it's hot like it has been. Hunting around water can really be a good thing to keep in the back of your mind. So there's a lot of time to get out there and hope that people are getting out and enjoying some archery hunting.
You bet. I don't know whether they're very good at it or not. Last year, there were 90,000 archery licenses sold and only 13,000 reported kills. So either they're not reporting the kills or it's a tough sport.
I'd say there's probably a little bit of both there. there's a lot of archery tags sold, and it's certainly tougher than firearm hunting. There's no doubt there, but we probably are having some kills that aren't getting reported yet. Kind of tired of beating that old drum on this show, but again, it's super important information for us. We get a lot of valuable data from that, and then it kind of helps us for the following seasons, kind of set quotas and things like that. So it's really important, and it's not optional, it's the law, so make sure you get it done.
Mm-hmm. Muzzleloader season opens up pretty shortly on the 14th. That'll be a week away.
It does, yep. Early muzzleloader season. We sell 7,500 of these tags each year. This is for residents only, so mm-hmm. It's a little bit unique season. And, it's one of the seasons where the weather can be a big factor. It can be really hot, or it can be, nice cool fall temperatures. But one thing that the early muzzleloader hunters will need to keep in mind is to make sure they've got their orange on when they go out to the woods. So that's another season that is kind of gaining in popularity, especially with young hunters and women. We see them get out during this time of the year because, it's not 20 below zero like it is for the late muzzleloader season. But mm-hmm. there'll be plenty of opportunities there, too. So make sure you take advantage.
Okay. Supposing somebody's driving down the road, Grant, and a deer jumps out in front, and you kill the deer, and it's laying there beside the road, and you think, well, gosh, I haven't had any venison for a long time. Can they keep it?
They sure can, but there's some steps they need to go through before they just grab it and head home with it. If you are, it's inevitable in Iowa, if you're driving down the road and you drive long enough, you're probably going to hit a deer. So this is the time of the year when we start to see more deer road kills. If you do hit one with a vehicle, try to contact local law enforcement if you can, or you can contact a conservation officer. Our numbers are found online or in the back of our hunting books, and give us a call, and we can issue salvage tags for those deer. And, the one thing that we do not allow is if you hit a monster buck, a lot of times we'll see people want to cut the antlers off of it and just let the deer lay.
Uh-huh.
We don't allow that. You got to take the entire deer. So that's one of the things that, and people, if it's a big enough deer, that's usually not a problem for them. But we don't want to see deer lining the roads without heads, and it just kind of creates a bit of a problem for the DOT and everyone. So make sure that you call to get your salvage tag if you happen to hit one with a vehicle, or find one maybe tangled up in a fence or out while you're out hunting. Find one, give us a call, and we'll get out there and take a look at it and issue the proper tags for you.
Okay, sounds like a program there also. That's two programs in one program. We're doing pretty good so far. Let's change gears and get in the air. Pheasant, quail, that starts out in 3 weeks. And time to do a little preparation. Make sure your gear and beer is ready to go. And scouting around, looking for areas, that big, nice patch of set-aside that was there last year may not be there this year, so you want to maybe take a look ahead and get permission ahead of time.
Absolutely, yep. Them are all good points. Make sure that you're kind of scouting your areas. You just don't show up there on opening day and hope for the best, because things can change. Obviously, always want to make sure you've got permission to hunt where you're intending to go. And, our youth season will actually come first. That's on the 21st and 22nd of October this month. So that'll be a time when we get some young hunters out there into the field in hopes of getting their first rooster pheasant. And then the regular season will open up on the 28th of October. So we've still got some time yet to kind of get the dog in shape and get all your stuff lined out and gear ready. It's a good point. Make sure that you're checking on your hunting spots. Even if you're hunting public, if you intend to go to a public area because you had some success there last year, I'd probably make a drive by it and do some scouting to make sure that they haven't changed something, or it wasn't a sunflower field this year, or whatever the case may be, because sometimes they do change around the habitat on different public areas. So definitely want to take some time and do some scouting, because it's just like deer and turkey hunting. You got to do your scouting to have some success out there.
Yep. one thing that's different from what it was back in the day with the large farms now, and you don't never know who owns what. And sure. It used to be you could really get acquainted with the landowners and get to be pretty good friends with them, and you knew where you stood. But sometimes now you don't.
Absolutely, yeah. And we've got a lot of corporate farms where they farm tens of thousands of acres, and sometimes I've talked to hunters and they say, well, I've got permission from so-and-so, he farms this. Well, you probably should really talk to the landowner themselves before you talk to the person that farms that property for him, because ultimately they're the one that can give permission for this. So make sure that you talk to the proper people, and you bet farming has changed a lot over the last 20, 30 years. And, we've talked about it on the show before, how efficient farmers are now, and it's really changed the sport of hunting deer and turkey, and even pheasant hunting to an extent. So the days of walking through fields and seeing shelled corn laying there on the ground just don't happen too much anymore. So it can affect the way that wildlife behaves, and hunters are going to have to adapt to it.
Mm-hmm. My brother lives out in California in Butte County. It's northern California, and they have the Gridley pheasant hunting area, and that's the farmers in the county have banded together and formed a little deal where you pay a fee and you have to still ask permission, but they have to give you permission. And that works for everybody. The farmers get a little money to split up and
sure.
Kind of police it themselves. Let's talk about lawbreakers. Everybody behaving themselves?
Well, for the most part, but we haven't really gotten into the heart of fall yet. So this is the time of the year where we're going to start seeing some problems out there. And it's a good time to mention to people if they're sitting in a tree stand and they see somebody drive by and stick a rifle out the window and shoot a deer, or hear some shots at night or lights shining, something like that. We really appreciate it when you pick up the phone and give us a call, because nothing is more disheartening than when you talk to somebody at a gas station and they say, well, 2 weeks ago, boy, there was some shooting going on that night, and it's almost like, why bother to tell me if you're going to wait 2 weeks,
Really.
I can't do much with that information. But if you call me that day or first thing the next morning, we can maybe do something with that. So if you can gather as much information as possible, what type of vehicle, direction they're headed, what type of gun you thought they had, it may not sound like much to you, or you may not think of it's of very much importance, but we're in a small enough community here where somebody's going to know a vehicle, or somebody's going to know a sticker on a window, or a mm-hmm. type of a gun, or what somebody looks like. So anything that you can gather for us is great. Give us a call. If you see these types of things, by all means, give me a call day or night. I don't care what time it is. That's what I get paid to do. So my cell phone number is 712-250-0303. If you forget it, again, you can go to the DNR webpage. Our numbers are listed there, and it's in the back of all of our hunting books. So
Okay. Give
us a call.
You bet.
Thank you, Bob.
A lot of things going on in the fall in the great state of Iowa. For Lyman Ag Center in Lyman, Iowa, and the Family Vision Center here in downtown Atlantic, this is Bob Evensee along with Grant Jelly, Conservation Officer for Cass and Adair Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report.